This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And away we go. Welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Come on in, weary traveler. Hang your cloak on a peg, grab a stool, and come gather around the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. Is it possible that a blueprint from ancient times holds the secret of our times? Is it possible that this mystery lies behind current events? The rise and fall of leaders, governments, and global happenings. Could events that transpired almost 3,000 years ago be determining the news of modern times and with it the issues of our lives? Could the people who lived in this ancient template match up with and hold the mystery behind the leaders of our day, and who rises to power and who does not? Is it possible that this ancient paradigm has determined and is determining the timing of current events, and in some cases even down to the exact dates? Could a mystery from the ancient Middle East have foretold the course of current events more accurately than any poll or pundit? And what does this ancient paradigm say and portend about what is yet to come, our future? Could it even contain a warning critical for this hour and crucial for all to hear? This amazing story is laid out in shocking and amazing detail in The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times, by New York Times best-selling author Jonathan Cahn. And he joins us tonight, and for the full 2 hours, he's standing by and will join us momentarily. First, as per usual, let me introduce the boys in the band. On the Gibson Flying V guitar, Ian Robertson, our fine rockabilly friend. On the Rickenbacker bass guitar and occasionally the theremin, story producer Albert Venzel. And on the Hammond B3, our good friend Ryan White. My little guys are also here someplace. You may hear them on the air at some point. They're running around, keeping busy, I'm sure. Now, just ahead of Jonathan Cahn, it's time for our weekly remote viewing experiment, What's in the Box? Remember to tweet your answers to me at Richard Serrett, at Richard Serrett, S-Y, because I love you, R-E-T-T. You must use the hashtag T-C-S remote. And here are your coordinates, remote viewers. The object is hidden from view in the cigar box to my left, resting on the desk here in studio at Zoomerplex, 70 Jefferson Avenue, in the Liberty Village neighborhood of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. All right. Now, please, do not guess. Allow the object to form in your mind. Let its shape and size and color and texture form in your mind. And again, tweet your answers to me at Richard Serrett. Use the hashtag TCSRemote. We'll do the big reveal at the bottom of this hour. And to the remote viewer or viewers who correctly identify what's in the box, a copy of my collection of Strange Planet, Volume 2, on CD. Remember CDs, Ian? Yes, it's old technology. It could be worse. You still have yours? Good for you. It could be worse. I could be sending you my collection on 8-track tape. But CDs will have to do. If you could see Albert here in studio, his eyes are closed in deep meditation. He's in full remote viewing mode. All right, good luck to you all. We are about to begin a journey of nearly 3,000 years from an arid Middle Eastern landscape to American soil, from ancient palaces to the White House, from ruthless kings and queens to mysterious priests and priestesses, secrets and scandals, idols and gods, prophets and holy men, signs, portends, wonders and harbingers. Each of these things holds a mystery that has determined our world and touched our lives. Jonathan Cahn's earth-shattering book, The Harbinger, became an instant New York Times bestseller and brought him to international prominence, followed by two more bestsellers, The Mystery of the Shemitah and The Book of Mysteries. Long before these books, he was known for opening the deep mysteries of Scripture and bringing forth messages of prophetic import. He leads Hope of the World Ministry, an international outreach of teaching, evangelism, and compassion projects for the needy. He also leads the Jerusalem Center Beth Israel, a worship center made of Jews, Gentiles, and people of all backgrounds just outside New York City in Wayne, New Jersey. He's a much sought-after speaker and has been called the prophetic voice of our generation. He's spoken at the United Nations, on Capitol Hill, and to millions of people around the world. He's a good friend of the program, and I'm honored to call him my friend also. Jonathan, welcome. How are you?
Great to be with you. Always a joy to be with you, Rich. Good. I mean, I have some crazy things that happen every time a book releases. Every single time I've released a book, something crazy happens. With Harbinger, was Hurricane Irene swept through 4 feet of water in our building. We had no building for months. The Mystery of the Shemitah, the moment of the release, I'm rushed to the emergency room, paralyzed for a week.
I remember that.
Mysterious illness, and then it vanishes. Well, I already told people, listen, get praying for this one, the paradigm. The day of the release, I have intense pain, rushed to the hospital. My appendix ruptured, surgery, emergency canceled, all interviews as well. And so that's how that was. That was just a few weeks ago. But, you know, the good news is that, I mean, I'm doing great. Apparently, you know, the book didn't need me because it made it to the top 10 New York Times with Hillary Clinton's book. So it doesn't need me. That's a good thing.
Well, somebody downstairs is trying his darndest to keep you from getting this word out, but we've all seen the movie. We know how it ends, and it's the good guys who win.
Absolutely.
So,
yes.
Well, we should also mention very quickly, and we'll mention this again later, but you are coming to our fair city here in Toronto.
Yes.
On a number of speaking engagements. And now some of these are open to the public and some are not so much, but let me just give one Saturday night, November the 18th. From 7 to 9 p.m. at the City of David Messianic Synagogue.
Is it at that place, or is it 200? Okay, I wasn't sure if they had it there or they're having it somewhere else.
Well, it's 200 Racco Parkway in Thornhill, which is up in my neck of the woods.
Okay.
And that's the one hosted by Rabbi Jeff Foreman, right?
Yes.
And Rosh Pinah?
Yes.
There we go. So again, that's Saturday night, November 18th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the City of David Messianic Synagogue, 200 Racco Parkway in Thornhill.
Yeah, and I think I appreciate you doing that, Rich. I haven't been to Canada since Expo 67 when I was a little kid.
Well, that was Montreal. Montreal.
Montreal. I've never been to Toronto. And then I think the other public ones will be Wednesday, November 17th at the church on the Queensway, 7 p.m., and then the other one is the Miracle Family Temple on Sunday, the morning and night. But they'll probably post it somewhere, you know.
Okay, so Wednesday the 15th at the church on the Queensway. That's Wednesday night, the 15th of November, and then Sunday the 19th, the Miracle Family Temple. That's Sunday afternoon at 3:15 p.m.
Yeah, there's a morning and there's a night, and they're kind of connected to the place.
Right.
But thanks. I look forward to being there. This is your neck, of the woods.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I got to ask you about, you do so well on the New York Times bestseller list, and I got to be honest with you. Your books sell, there's no question, but that the New York Times would admit it, to me, I guess, is a big mystery. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, well, and there are, you know, there is editorializing in that list because they don't do it by straight numbers. And so the last few times there was kind of a fight about saying it wasn't going to be on this list, or they're not going to put it on this list and not put it on this list. You know, I'm not judging the motives, but I've heard, you know, but that's what happened. So it's kind of like, you know, I mean, thank God they did it. You know, I've always ended up on the list, even when there's been a fight about the thing. But then, you know, the numbers put it there, you know. But
sure, they can't ignore it.
There are some books that have numbers that don't get there. So,
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It's been a fight at different times.
Well, this is just a testament, no pun intended, that to the, you know, the appeal of your work. The numbers are so big that they simply can't deny it. And for them to deny it, they would just look foolish. So here we have the paradigm. Well, let's define some terms. What do we mean by paradigm?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, paradigm, a lot of people use that word, Richard, and a lot of people don't know what it means. You know, paradigm is a pattern or an archetype, a model, it could be a foreshadow of something that is to come. And so God, in the Bible, you know, there are paradigms all over the place. God uses paradigms, symbolic paradigms, prophetic paradigms, symbols, you know, sacrifices, holy days, even foreshadows, you know, people who foreshadow other people. And in fact, it says in Corinthians, it says, you know, Paul writes, he says that these things happened in Israel's history as examples for us. Well, the word example in the Greek is tupos or type, which also means paradigm. So, in other words, what's in the Bible, what happened to Israel relates to everybody and everything in some way. God uses it. And the paradigm, the paradigm itself is, you know, you gave a great intro before, but it's imagine they discovered a master blueprint that lies behind everything, lies behind what's happening now, from ancient times, from the Bible, from almost 3,000 years ago, yet it's coming true now. Yet, it, you know, it's detailed, it's precise. It's what is happening, the events of our lifetime, also the timing of those events down to the years, in some cases the month, the week, in some cases the exact date, in some cases the hour of when these things have to happen, all in this ancient paradigm. Even the people of our day, you know, the leaders on the national stage, that imagine that if behind each of these key leaders there is an ancient leader, a prototype leader, and the modern leader is following in the footsteps of that ancient leader, and the ancient leader even gives the time that the modern leader is allotted to on the world stage. So it's eerily, you know, in many ways it's like the harbinger in that you have an ancient mystery that is unfolding, replaying now. But the difference is, and they're actually linked together, but the difference is that, you know, the harbinger is showing the signs of warning that from ancient Israel that are happening now. But the paradigm is saying, like, everything else is it's almost like we're inside a harbinger. Everything that we're experiencing is part of this ancient mystery.
Right. It reminds me, and you point out that the circumstances, let's say we're talking about individuals, for example, a king, and the way that he rises to power or leaves power isn't an exact, you know, it's not a mirror image of what happens in modern times to a particular politician. It reminds me of that old Mark Twain saying that history doesn't always repeat itself, but sometimes it rhymes.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's because, you know, people have been saying that, you know, there's a scripture in the Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun, things happening. And yet it's not only that it's kind of replaying in a modern form or a modern pattern, but it's there's something. I mean, I know you've been reading it. It's beyond natural because when it you know comes together, when it coalesces, it gets so exact or so eerie in these key things, again, to give exact dates or even in some cases the ancient paradigm gives the parameters of the name of the modern leader on the world stage. So it's eerie, and it's more than natural. I believe this is the hand of God, just like with the harbinger, that things are replay, and because there's a message, it's telling you not just what has happened and what is happening and where we're heading, but also it's kind of giving God's commentary on it. Like, what does this mean? Where are we? You know, what is the value of this? Where are we heading? What's the warning? Because there's a warning there as too. There's an encouragement, but there's a warning concerning the future. So, you know, and think about it, Richard. You know, throughout the Bible, God does this. He gives foreshadows. And the foreshadows, as you just said, it's not that everything that was in the original happens the same exact way in the modern. Then it would be the same thing. But for instance, you know, paradigms of the Passover lamb. Well, it doesn't, you know, it's talking ultimately about the Messiah is going to come as a lamb, a sacrificed lamb. It doesn't mean he's going to have wool, doesn't mean many things, but it means that at key points it's going to be linked together. And so God uses this all the time. But that same, the same God of the Bible is still alive, and he's still in charge. He's still in control of everything, meaning the United States, meaning Canada, meaning the world, what all we're right. living through right now.
Jonathan Cahn, The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. When we come back, we'll head to the northern kingdom of Israel, King Ahab, Queen Jezebel, and what are the antitypes who exist today. Back with more of The Conspiracy Show. Stay right with us.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Don't be afraid of the dark. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. To talk to Richard, call 416-360-0740 or toll free 1-866-740-4740.
Welcome back. Jonathan Cahn is with us. The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. Before I forget, just want to send out a hello to a faithful listener, a big fan of his program, and even a bigger fan of Jonathan Cahn, and that would be Rocco, who owns the Italian Bakery up in Barrie, Ontario. So, Rocky, thanks for listening to the program, and we appreciate your support. Also, I want to mention Jonathan Cahn again coming to Toronto. We mentioned a couple dates, but I want to give you more details about Wednesday, November the 15th here in Toronto from 7 to 10 p.m. Wednesday, November 15th, 7 to 10 p.m., Church on the Queensway. That's 1536 the Queensway here in Toronto. And what you need to do if you want to register for tickets, you need to go to eventbrite.com. Eventbrite.com. And I mean, the link is too long to give it to you over the air. Just type in Jonathan Cahn or Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, Cahn, C-A-H-N. And you can order your tickets that way. It's a free event. Okay. They'll be taking up an offering. It's a free event, but you need to register to get in because obviously space is limited. We'll give you some of the other dates as the program progresses. All right, Jonathan, I wanted to, take a, for instance, and, Northern Israel, the kingdom of Northern Israel. At this time, of course, the Holy Land is divided. You have Israel and Samaria in the north, and you have Judea in the south. What set the scene for us in terms of what's going on in the northern kingdom? We have King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Explain a little bit about who they are and what's going on in the kingdom at this point.
Yeah, the big stage, setting the big stage here, it's the same. Now, this is the same setting as in the Harbinger, you know, that it's the northern kingdom again. This is a civilization that knew God, was founded by God, founded on his ways, but then turned away from him. And so enters a time of apostasy, starts driving him out of its government, out of its culture, out of its public life. It begins to call evil good and good evil, begins to offer up its children as sacrifices, begins to serve other gods and idolatry and materialism and immorality, and, you know, and starts persecuting those who are still following God. So you have a civilization in apostasy. And the first thing, the big picture, and then it's going to get very specific, that's the big picture is this falling away, this metamorphosis, this thing, this civilization that's changing. Well, so with America and so with the Western world, you know, the foundation of Western civilization has been, you know, you have the gospel, you have a biblical foundation. And what we have been witnessing in the last, you know, century, I mean, you know, say mid-century on, very clearly, very brazenly, in America and in the West, is a massive falling away from those foundations, the driving of God out of the public square, the calling good evil and evil good, the you know, all things, the even the offering of children, you know, in you know, they say, well, how can you compare what happened with, they offered it to idols? Well, yeah, they offered thousands, we've offered millions of unborn children. So we're replaying that big scene, that the overall setup, but it's now it's going to get very, very specific, and that is that they start worshiping a god called Baal or Baal. And Baal is the god of materialism, prosperity, but also sexual immorality, and also obviously the offering up of children. They did that to Baal. The Bible says it. And so, but what happens is this apostasy reaches a stage where suddenly it accelerates and it deepens. deepens. And it deepens because of the rise of leaders who come to the throne who are going to actually, they're going to be a catalyst for this thing, and they're going to, suddenly the kind of anti-biblical morality is going to prevail over the biblical morality. It's going to be endorsed from the throne. And you're going to have, literally, you're going to have a culture war happening. Well, the same thing is going to happen in America, and it's going to touch the rest of the world. I know many people are listening from Canada today, but it's going to touch everybody. And what happens is, about a quarter century ago, you have a culture war in America, and it's linked to the rise of a certain leader. Now, in the Bible, the leader, and this is the first kind of paradigm of a leader here, he's called the king in the book, and he is Ahab or Ahab. Ahab is a man who, he was raised, actually, he knows the culture, he knows of God, he knows of the ways of God, but he champions values that go against God. He's a divided man. He's in apostasy. He wavers back and forth. He's an emotional man. And he's the first king of Israel to pioneer things that have never been pioneered from the throne, meaning the worship of Baal, meaning that means child sacrifice, that means sexual immorality.
In other
that
words, to give these things royal sanction, the worship of Baal and the sacrificing and the sexual depravity in the temples had been going on in the shadows for a long time, but now it has become so normalized, it's part of the culture.
Yeah, exactly. What was in the shadows comes out, and that's exactly it. Now it becomes, Ahab allies the state to these things. And so it begins actually a war or a culture war and a persecution. Well, could there be a modern leader that follows this pattern? Well, if you go back about a quarter century, you have this thing called the culture war, early 90s, and with that is the rise of a leader who's associated with the culture war, and his name is, of course, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton is going to follow, and listen, let me say before I say anything else, it's not about the people. We need to, we have no enemies. We pray, the only thing we do, we love and we pray for all people, but we got to recognize what's happening. So he is going to follow the paradigm of Ahab, and what's going to happen is he's also a man who was raised knowing about God, raised in the Bible Belt, but he's going to champion values that go against the Bible. Most notably, he's the first president in American history, in the West, who champions abortion, which in the ancient time is linked with child sacrifice. He champions the redefining of morality. He even says it. We are redefining the unchangeable ideals. He says we're changing morality.
Right,
and
like things like late term.
He wavers back and forth, emotional and all that.
Right.
And in the book, there's a chapter in the paradigm. There's a chapter called The Days of the King. The question is, when did Bill Clinton come on the national stage or the world stage? Well, the answer is it was 1979 when he was elected governor of Arkansas. That was his first major thing, and he went from governor basically to president. So that was 1979. When did his time end? It was January 2001. So you put it together, you got 22 years of Bill Clinton, 22 years. If you open up the Bible, you open up to 1 Kings 16, it says, and Ahab ruled in Samaria for a period of 22 years. The same period, the days of Bill Clinton will follow the days of Ahab down to the year.
Remarkable.
And Richard, it's going to be with every single, it's going to be like every single leader. That's what we're going to see. It's eerie. But he wasn't alone. You know, as we know, Ahab was not alone. There was another with him. And again, it's not about the people or their motives, but it's about the signs. Her name was Isabel, and we know her as Jezebel.
Right.
And she grows up in Phoenicia, outside of it, and she's the daughter of the priest of Astarte. This is a goddess. So she grows up with goddess worship. She has cosmopolitan values. It's a different culture than Israel. She venerates female power. She moves to the land of the king, which is more conservative, but she never adopts the values of Ahab's land or of Israel, and she refuses to. She sees traditional values as something to be overturned or warred against, or she incites her husband to go with this. She sees the religious beliefs of Israel, those who are faithful, as something she's got to change, and they actually have a co-regency. It's the only one in Israel's history where it's not just the king, it's king and queen. They're both ruling, and Jezebel becomes the primary champion of child sacrifice. Well, what does this correspond to? I mean, you don't have to guess. It's going to be Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is going to follow the pattern or the paradigm of Jezebel. And it's not saying she knows what she's doing or this is conscious, but she's going to follow it. Number one, she grows up in a cosmopolitan culture. That's Chicago.
Right.
She venerates female power. And she obviously is radically feminist. She will actually move to the Bible Belt to marry her husband, as Jezebel moved to Israel. But she's never going to accept the beliefs of that, and she's going to see traditional values again and again as something to be warred against. She's actually going to make a statement. I mean, it's an amazing statement. She says, deep-seated religious beliefs have to be changed. She's the only major candidate in American history or Western who ever would make something like that. She will be, as Jezebel was the primary champion of Baal worship or child sacrifice, Hillary Clinton will become the primary champion of abortion. And that's not an opinion. Planned Parenthood actually voted her the champion, abortion champion of the century.
Right. And her health care plan, Hillary Care, which went down in flames,
yes,
part of that was tax-funded abortion. And also under President Clinton, he vetoed a ban on late-term abortion, not once but twice. So
yeah, absolutely, how could they even do that? And partial birth abortion, vetoed it when the Congress passed it. I mean, partial birth abortion. But then again, when you look in the ancient paradigm, you know, what was happening on the altars of Baal was horrific. I mean, really horrific, and so was this horrific, too. And so under the Clinton years, abortion becomes championed by the state, and actually you actually have a new phenomenon. You have Christians being arrested, put in jail for praying, you know, on the grass of abortion clinics and all this. Well, that's exactly, you know, you just mentioned Hillary Care, which is basically forced participation in abortion. Well, that's exactly what Jezebel did. But it's going to get even more eerie. And there's a chapter in the book called The Goddess.
Right.
Now, Jezebel, you know, she worshipped the Phoenician gods. She worshipped Baal and these goddesses. And it says in the Bible that she actually brought these priests of the goddesses into the throne, into the palace. Now, the worship that they partook of, which Jezebel told, it involved conjuring of spirits, involved speaking to familiar spirits. We know it from a number of reasons, and basically a kind of channeling of spirits. And so we have that. Now, could this possibly have a modern fulfillment? Now, it would seem crazy that it could. How could you have it? It would mean that in some way you've got this pagan worship being brought to the White House. Well, it happened. And what happened was, and this is the chapter called The Goddess, and what people don't realize, when the Clintons lost politically, they called for counselors, but not biblical counselors. They called for New Age counselors. They had a meeting at Camp David, and then that of New Age counselors, and two of them were called priestesses. And one of them, the first lady, Hillary Clinton, as in the paradigm, Jezebel brings priestesses to the palace. She brings them to the White House. And in the White House, they have sessions. And the sessions that they have are literally channeling the dead, speaking to the dead, conjuring spirits. And the woman who's overseeing them, I mean, this wasn't just meetings. These were sessions. She actually had the first lady, Hillary Clinton, channel a dead person. And they, you know, this actually leaked in the news, and they tried to cover it up. They said, well, it's just brainstorming. It wasn't brainstorming. The woman whose name was Jean Houston, who was called the high priestess in the New Age of the God, wrote a book at the time all about endorsing goddess worship. And she actually, when she was in the White House, she had a medallion on her chest, which was of an ancient goddess. And in her book, she describes the sessions that she leads, and it's called, she says, you're talking to the gods and talking to the goddesses and talking to the dead. And that's what happened in the White House. And in the book, she actually mentions the land of Phoenicia, which is Jezebel's land, and she mentions the goddess Astarte, or Ashtoreth, who was the goddess of Jezebel, you know, the Bible condemns.
Right.
So you have all this happening, and I'm not saying that Hillary Clinton knew what she was doing, but nevertheless, it all took place in the White House.
Jonathan, you mentioned that Hillary Clinton was taking part in this, and that she channeled someone. Was it the supposedly the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt?
Yes, it was. And Richard, that's how it came out into the press. And they said, and so they started saying the big thing, seances in the White House. And then they all, of course, denied it and said, no, it was just brain. That's not brainstorming. Brainstorming is when you throw out ideas. She was literally speaking as a dead first lady. Absolutely. And it was part of these sessions. And I actually had to get the book. I mean, I didn't want to get the book. Got the book that this woman wrote. wrote at the time, and she describes all these things. This was the same thing, the same practices of Jezebel's worship.
You also quote a radical feminist in your book, The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times, talking about abortion as
yes.
being a sacrifice to
yes.
the goddess Astarte.
Well, yeah, the same people don't realize this, you know, because the connection, I mean, is very deep, and meaning that what modern abortion, the key radical abortionists have all these statements. It's in I think it's the chapter on the Days of the Gods, and in it there are these amazing quotes where these people who are famous radical, you know, leading abortion, they say abortion is a sacrament. It's a holy thing. It's a sacred thing. And one of them says, it's not immorality. It's a pagan morality. And we are offering up sacrifices. The abortion is a sacrifice to the ancient goddesses. And you have this throughout. And so there's a real spiritual thing going on, and we are replaying it. And I mean literally replaying it.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk about the nemesis. Jonathan Cahn, The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times, right here on The Conspiracy Show. Don't go away.
When in doubt, blame the government. You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. When you look at the sky, ever wonder if someone's looking back? This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. To speak with Richard live, call 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
And welcome back. We will get back to our conversation with Jonathan Cahn. The book is The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. It's time for our big reveal and our weekly remote viewing experiment. What's in the box? And let us go around the horn here quickly. Let's begin with our rockabilly friend, Ian Robertson. Ian, what are you seeing? What's in the box?
At the beginning of the show when you mentioned it, I was going to say glasses box, like a container, but I think that's because we were both wearing our glasses at the moment.
Oh, like a case for a pair of glasses?
I looked over and I thought, glasses.
All right.
But I don't know now. Maybe a piece of woven fabric.
A piece of woven fabric.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. And Albert Vinzel.
It's just a guess. I'm going to say soft and rubbery, like that giant eraser again you had. For some reason, I keep just getting repeat objects.
All right. Okay. And Ryan. Whoops. Let me get your mic on. There we go.
Oh, you know, I see something maybe that burns and has a nice fragrance, something like incense or maybe the wick of an oil lamp.
You know, you always have the most imaginative guesses, but you're always way off the mark.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry. All right, we're going to go to our Twitter feed, and young North is going to go through our Twitter feed. What are people guessing, North? What are people guessing? Go ahead, North.
Sailor Twift. Sailor Twift. There's a baseball glove in the box. He says.
Okay, a little closer to the mic there, young fella.
Okay.
A baseball glove. Okay, who's next?
Yeah, baseball glove. Drew says, I'm seeing a teapot lid or another piece of fine china.
Okay.
Kyle Pacey says, a compass.
All right.
Weya Elena, she says, I see pink scissors for some reason, but also a green cube.
A green cube. All right.
Daniel S. says, he says, a screwdriver.
Mm-hmm.
I see a handle and metal. John P. Smith says he sees a spiral-bound pocket notebook.
A spiral-bound pocket notebook. All right.
Clinton Mills says, she says, a photo. Wait, never mind. It's a boy.
A photo.
Like
a photograph, all right.
Kevin B. says, it's black, smooth, silver, metal, and plastic.
Hmm, all right. Anyone else?
Adam Sidesworth says, I see a cigar in the box.
I think Adam always says it's cigar in the box. All right, time for one or two more.
Cappy Del Margo says, I'm seeing something orange, a toy box, a toy pumpkin, perhaps.
Okay. One more.
Ellie Ito says, I'm seeing a coin.
All right. Now, we had someone say something. Thank you, North. Great job, young fella. Someone said something plastic and polished steel or something. That was somewhat close. It's a... Anyone recognize this? It's a fidget spinner. There we go. Can you hear that? It's a fidget spinner. I don't think anyone was close enough, though. What say you, Ryan, Albert, Ian?
It was a black, smooth, silver metal plastic. It's pretty close.
Hmm.
It has some black. It's smooth.
It does. It has
metal and plastic.
You know what? I think, was that Adam? Who was that?
Kevin B.
Kevin B? All right. Kevin, congratulations. We're going to send you out a CD, Strange Planet Volume 2. Congratulations. And until next week, that's our What's in the Box segment. All right. Jonathan Kahn will be here in Toronto Wednesday, November the 15th at the Church of the Queensway. That's Wednesday night, November the 15th. Again, go to eventbrite.com to register for tickets. It's free, but you have to register. Saturday night, November the 18th from 7 to 9 at the City of David Messianic Synagogue. That's 200 Rocco Parkway in Thornhill. And then we have on Sunday morning at 10 and Sunday afternoon at 3:15, Sunday, November the 19th, the Miracle Family Temple. All right. This is a short segment, Jonathan, but let's just get this conversation started and we'll continue after the break.
Okay. Well,
I wanted to talk about, first of all, we should point out that another interesting sort of parallel or paradigm that connects Queen Jezebel of Israel, the Northern Kingdom, with Hillary Rodham Clinton is that in both cases, after the president leaves office, Bill Clinton leaves office, and after the king is killed, King Ahab, killed in battle, both Jezebel and Hillary Rodham Clinton, they don't just leave the scene as per usual. They both kind of linger and hang on there.
Yes, and we're going to get the paradigm is going to take, Richard's going to take us all the way up to exactly where we are right now. I mean, it's going to be everything, including Donald Trump, and it's going to be right where we are right now. But yes, we're going to go through all of that.
All right, so the nemesis.
Yes.
You have a chapter dedicated to the nemesis, and again, this goes back to King Ahab.
Yes.
And his nemesis, who was to the east, across the Jordan River in modern-day Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And that, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, what happens is that in the, you know, in the reign of Ahab, the man arises who becomes a threat, becomes a nemesis, an arch enemy of the nation. He threatens the nation. He threatens that he's going to invade it, threatens it with destruction, comes from the east, as you said. He speaks a Semitic tongue, and he actually gives threats in a Semitic tongue. And actually, the paradigm actually gives the parameters of, well, he has a name, but he gives parameters of the modern one. What this would mean is that in the days of Clinton, there will be a man who rises up outside of America and outside of the West, and he is going to be from the East, and he is going to be a threat to the nation. He's going to threaten invasion, and his name is, of course, Bin Laden. And the thing is that in the paradigm, the ancient nemesis, the name also, the parameters are B and N. It's Ben in the Hebrew or the Arabic. It's the same word, Ben. His name begins with that, the ancient one as well. He's going to attack America. And the thing is that, but what happens is you read the account of Ahab, and actually Ahab, God gives his enemy into the hands of Ahab. Ahab decides to release him, let him go. That's going to bring, you know, God rebukes Ahab, says now there's going to be calamity in the land. Well, could that be that actually Bill Clinton had the opportunity to eliminate Bin Laden? And the answer is absolutely. The 9/11 Commission found out that he had the chance to eliminate Bin Laden, and he chose to let him go. It didn't happen once. It happened 9 times, which resulted in 9/11. And that, it's going to be very crucial, because the next thing that when we get to the paradigm is going to get so exact, it's going to give us exact days, dates, that so much so that if I had known it, and I didn't know this until this year, Richard, this is when it came to me, if we had known the paradigm, we could have actually marked in our calendars the future events that to the day they would happen years in advance.
Oh, my. As we head into the break, just very quickly, how did this come to you? How did you put this all together?
It came just like the Harbinger did, in the sense I wasn't looking for it. Actually, Richard, I was planning to do a different book, but then in January the whole thing started coming like a download, just like things would come and said whoa, and they kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I'd be in my bed and something would come in my mind that said, wait a minute, that can't be. I'd get up, go onto the web, and it would be exactly that. Things would just come to me. It was pretty much exactly the way the Harbinger did, and when I needed like the next key or the next move, something, somebody would say a word or something would pop up, and it would turn out to be true. So it came like a download, came within about 1 to 2 months at the beginning of the year. Then I told my publisher, they said, well, you got to write this, and you've got 60 days to write it. So I wrote it in 60 days, and then they quickly edited, and then it just came out now in September. So it all happened very quick, but same thing as the Harbinger. It was literally it was a download. I was the one getting overwhelmed by it before I ever told anybody else.
Amazing. The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. New York Times best-selling author Jonathan Cahn stays with us here on The Conspiracy Show. My name is Richard Serrett.
Curiosity, or did the devil make you do it? Whatever the reason, welcome back to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. To talk to Richard, call 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. The truth is not out there. It's right here. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
And welcome back. Just a reminder that our mystery object was a fidget spinner. All right. Jonathan Cahn is with us. I just want a quick programming note. Next week on The Big Show, a near-death experiencer, John Francis, will be with us. He made a breakthrough in consciousness that allowed him to decode the deepest mysteries of life. So we'll talk about the global love conspiracy. That's with John Francis. And then in the second hour, JFK assassination researcher James Di Eugenio makes his return to the program. Of course, that'll just be days after the release, we hope, if President Trump sticks to his guns and releases the JFK documents as promised. And the deadline, of course, is October the 26th. And James Di Eugenio will be with us a few days later to discuss that. All right. Jonathan Cahn stays with us. The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. Jonathan, how do people get a hold of the book?
The Paradigm is everywhere, just came out, is everywhere from Amazon online, any place online, and any bookstore from Walmart to any other place. It's literally everywhere. So it's hard to miss it. You can get it right now. But it's omnipresent, pretty much. Yeah.
All right.
If you want to get in touch with the ministry, it's hopeoftheworld.org. And we send out free things all over the place. And, of course, if any of you, your audience is down around New York City, we're right there in Wayne, New Jersey.
Excellent. All right. We were talking about the Nemesis and how that is sort of the prototype for Bin Laden in modern times, and the nemesis for King Ahab was from Damascus, and this was Ben-Hadad.
Hadad. Yeah, and it's going to continue, Rich. I mean, the paradigm, when we get to it, it will give the timing, the way that Bin Laden will be assassinated and the timing of it. So it continues, and the days of the Clintons, the days of Ahab and Jezebel weren't just days of apostasy, they were days of scandal. And there's key things about this that gives exact timing.
All right, well, we have some time. Let's get into some of that timing.
Yeah, well, Ahab and Jezebel, there is a personal scandal, and it's the scandal of Naboth. And where they actually, they break, most of the Ten Commandments to get this vineyard. They kill a guy, bear false witness, and the whole thing. And then as Ahab is about to take what doesn't belong to him, Elijah the prophet appears in the vineyard and pronounces judgment on Ahab, exposes his sin. Well. So the Clinton years, it means that therefore the Clinton years would be years not just of moral or of you know of apostasy or the war against values, but actually personal scandals. So of course there were scandals. That's what it was known for. The big one was the Monica Lewinsky scandal. He was actually impeached for it. Now, and also it involved breaking of Ten Commandments and all that. Well, the thing about it is when Ahab fell and when the scandal took place and when later on he was actually killed, it was all linked to the tribe of Levi. Ahab broke the law of the Levites, and then he was killed. His reign ends in the city of the Levites and all that. So could it be that a modern presidential scandal actually could be linked to this ancient tribe of Levi? Well, from the name Levi comes the name Levin. From Levin comes Lewin. From Lewin comes Lewinsky. The Lewinsky scandal, it literally means the Levite scandal.
Wow.
It's the same people that's linked to the fall of Ahab, King Ahab. And actually, Monica Lewinsky was actually a Levite. She's actually from the tribe that's linked to the fall of the king. But it goes even further, because when this scandal is exposed of Ahab, it happens in the 19th year of his reign. Well, we said, when did Clinton come on the national stage? Well, it was 1979. Add 19 years, it takes you to the year 1998. 1998 is the year that the scandal is exposed of the Clinton years. And it actually, if you take it exactly when Clinton was sworn in 1979, it leads you to January 1998. January 1998 is the month that the scandal is exposed. So, I mean, and actually, it gets even more so, because here's another mystery in the paradigm, and that is that when the king's scandal is exposed, what happened? The Bible tells you how long Ahab has. He's got 3 years left until judgment is going to come to him, actually the end of his reign. The reign is going to come 3 years after the scandal is exposed. Well, we know when the Clinton years ended. It ended on an exact day. It ended on January 20th, 2001, at the inauguration. So what happens if you take the end of the Clinton years, go back 3 years, could it lead you to the King scandal? Well, if you go back 3 years, it takes you to January 20th, 1998, January 20th, 1998 is the exact day that evening the scandal breaks forth to the world. And from that day, according to the paradigm, the king or the president will have 3 years. He has 3 years exactly to the end of the Clinton years.
Remarkable. Remarkable. Jonathan, I just want to back up for a second, because we just kind of glossed over what happened in the vineyard. Did you say there was a murder of a witness?
Okay, I didn't, but I'm okay, Richard, you brought it up, so let's go there. Okay, there's another chapter called The Vineyard, and you're right. You know, I didn't get into the detail of this, but I'm gonna just throw this out. Another part of the scandals of the Clinton years, the scandal in Ahab and Jezebel involves a piece of land that is acquired illegally. The acquiring of it by the king and queen. Well, in the Clinton years, you have Whitewater. That's the longest scandal.
Oh no, I think I know where this is going.
You have the acquisition of that land, which there are questions about it throughout the whole time, and you also have a man that's linked to it. The man in the time of Ahab and Jezebel, his name was Naboth, and he ends up being killed. Well, you have a man named Vince Foster. Now,
exactly.
I'm not getting into him being killed or not, but the point is, prophetically, it's linked to the Clinton years. And the chief guy dies. He was linked to Whitewater. He was the keeper of Whitewater, the legal keeper. And the interesting another thing about this is that Naboth, his name, you know, a vineyard is a place of fruits. Well, the name Naboth means fruits. So the keeper of the land who died was linked to the land. His name is Fruits. Well, Vince Foster, Whitewater wasn't a vineyard, it was forest land. Vince Foster, the name Foster means keeper of the forest.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word. How can anyone listen to this and not connect these dots? I mean, this is not mere happenstance.
It's eerie. Like the Harbinger, it's eerie, except it involves everything. And I don't know if we'll have time on this thing or then we come back, but it's going to get so eerie that it's going to, the paradigm is actually going to, this is where I said, if you knew it back then, you could have marked your calendar. It's going to give the exact date, even the hour of really the most pivotal event of our lifetime.
We have a couple minutes here. What is the mystery of days?
Okay, here it is. Here's what happens. And just tell me if we run out of time. I'll continue with the next line. But here's what happens. When Ahab goes to the vineyard, Elijah rebukes him. And actually, it says the king, Ahab, repents. Now, it doesn't last, but he repents. And so what it says is God says, that he says, because Ahab repented, I'm going to delay the calamity that's going to come on the land because of what he did. I'm going to delay it. And the delay is, again, the period is in the Bible. You can look it up, is 3 years. So now you have another paradigm here. And that is from the day of the king's repentance until a calamity comes on the land, there will be 3 years. Well, did Bill Clinton ever repent over the scandal? Well, the answer is, well, first he denied it, then he had to confess it, and then finally he did repent. It was at a White House gathering of ministers. He said, listen, I've sinned. This is my repentance. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against man. And it was his repentance. So if you take that date when he made that declaration of repentance, and what happens if you add 3 years? Could it lead you to something significant? Take the day, add 3 years of the paradigm, and it leads you to the exact date of September 11th, 2001.
Oh, my.
The
wow.
Ancient paradigm that from the king's repentance will be 3 years to the day calamity comes on the nation. And Richard, it even gets even more exact, because when did this repentance happen? It happened in the morning. So 3 years leads you to the morning of September 11th, exactly when it happens. And the White House event begins at 8:30 in the morning. So that leads you 3 years later to 8:30, the hour of 8:30, 9/11. Well, 8:30 marks the hour that 9/11 begins. Actually, begins a number of minutes after that. And it was between 9 and 10 o'clock that Clinton made his repentance. Well, 9 and 10 o'clock is the peak of 9/11. Then the White House event ends at exactly 10:30. Could that contain 9/11? Well, 3 years later, the last event of 9/11 is the fall of the North Tower, happens at 10:29, and then comes 10:30, the end of the event. This is down to the day, to the hour, to the minute, this is when nobody knew it, not even bin Laden knew it back then, not the Pentagon, but if we had known God's paradigm, you could have charted it years in advance down to the hour.
When you're putting this together, you're getting up in the middle of the night, you're going
yes.
to a computer to check it out, I mean, you must have just been getting chills up and down your spine.
Yes, and Richard, that's exactly how what I just shared with you right now, actually the last two things, happened in the middle of the night, I'm on my bed, it came to me on my bed, I had no idea if it was true. I got up, went to open up the bathroom, put my laptop there where my wife is sleeping. I start typing it in, and it's exactly that. I was blown away.
I want you to check this out sometime. Did King Ahab ever say, it depends on what the meaning of is?
In a sense, he did.
All right, we'll come back. The Paradigm with Jonathan Kahn. Stay with us on The Conspiracy Show.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Live from Toronto, Canada, Earth, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio.
Thanks for inviting me into your home, long-haul truck, RV, camper, taxi, your parents' basement, your loft, that greasy spoon just off the interstate, and your cabin in the woods. A big hearty howdy to all of you listening in on our flagship station, Zoomer Radio, AM 740 and 96.7 FM here in Toronto. Hi to those of you catching us on one of our affiliate stations across North America. Those of you listening to the podcast, please check it out at TalkZone.com. That's the podcast, TalkZone.com. Give it a few days to get posted. The Conspiracy Show app, of course, the Zoomer Radio app, the YouTube channel. Hey, we have passed the 6,000 subscription mark. Thank you all for that. But we're racing against time here, trying to get to 10,000. 10,000 subs by the end of the year, and only you can help us do that. So thank you again, and let's keep it going. Wherever and however you're listening, I bid thee the warmest of welcomes, and I thank you for your fine company. Jonathan Kahn, New York Times best-selling author, is here unraveling a shocking mystery detailed in his new book, Paradigm, the Ancient Blueprint that Holds the Mystery of Our Times. And we're comparing the reign of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel in the northern kingdom of Israel in ancient times, and how the mirroring of that with President Clinton and Hillary Rodham Clinton is incredible. So let's see where let's talk about when King Ahab's reign comes to an end. Well, I sort of hinted at this earlier that Queen Jezebel, you know, doesn't just sort of, you know, get shuffled off to the sidelines and take on some honorary title. She's bound and determined to continue to have influence and power after King Ahab is killed. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, a lot of people think that, you know, the idea that most people have is that, you know, well, Ahab ends and Jezebel ends. But that's not what happened at all. Ahab ends, and as I said, Jezebel goes on. And she goes on the political stage. She goes on in the halls of power. And so what that means, I mean, you know, I know your people are sharp and they're already putting this together, that what it means is so that at the end, the Clinton years will end, the reign or the time of Bill Clinton ends on the national stage, but for the first time in history, in American history, the first lady goes on the political stage. Well, and so she does. Hillary Clinton becomes a senator in New York. Jezebel would dwell in the halls of power, so does Hillary Clinton. She'll dwell in the capital city, so Hillary Clinton will dwell in Washington, D.C. She'll not be she's not the queen anymore. She's not the first lady. She's the former first lady. I'm talking about Jezebel. She's the former first lady. And so she still she exerts influence behind the scenes, and she's going to do it behind the throne, and that's exactly what Hillary Clinton will do. And as you kind of alluded to, she still has an agenda. It just says Jezebel never changed, and we know this from what's alluded to in the Bible later on, and that she's still a strong influence on the government, is that so did Hillary Clinton. She never changed at all. She still has an agenda, and you know, in fact, when she's as a senator, she's one of the few senators who actually stands up to defend partial birth abortion on her own, you know, as a solo career. So she does this, and then of course, but something else happens. She in 2008 she seeks to become the leader of the land, but according to the paradigm, she does not become the leader of the land. At least during this time, she will not. It will go to a younger man. And so this introduces the next kind of mystery of the paradigm, and there's a chapter in the book is called The Heir, and this is going to be the mystery of Barack Obama, and Barack Obama is going to follow the paradigm of the king known as Joram. Now, Joram he's called the heir because he's going to follow, he's the heir to Ahab, he's going to follow basically the policies of Ahab. He's not going to be the pioneer. You know, Ahab was the pioneer. He's the first king to do all these things, and Clinton was the first president to open the door for all these things. But here, Joram is going to follow the ways overall of Ahab. And so we have Barack Obama. Barack Obama is going to follow the policies of the Clinton years. I mean, and you even alluded to one. You had Hillary Care. Well, it becomes Obamacare. About abortion, everything is followed through by Obama. And it's interesting because I didn't even get into this. If you look in the paradigm, it actually reveals personalities. Because if you look at Ahab's personality, he's emotional. He's wavering, goes back and forth. He's kind of weak-willed in different ways. Well, that's Bill Clinton, back and forth and all over the place. But if you look at Jezebel, different personality. She is a harder personality. She can be vindictive. She can be like iron. Well, how do people view Hillary Clinton? Same way, and they didn't trust Jezebel. In the same way has been largely the case with Hillary Clinton. And so you got that. But then when you look at Joram, Joram's personality is a cooler temperament, meaning it's not, you know, back and forth all over the place. Can't picture, you know, Ahab repented, but then he turns back and forth. He persecutes Elijah. Well, with Joram, you can't picture that. Joram is a cooler, and so Barack Obama has this different personality, more reserved. But if you look at this, you look at the account about Joram, you'll see that there's a hostility, and there's a view of God that's basically hostile. Joram views him almost as an enemy, and views the people of God with hostility. And so the ways of Barack Obama will be, and this again not about motive, but the ways will be, he will endorse policies that will continually be hostile to God's people, to God's ways. He's the one who says America's not a Christian nation anymore. He's the one who says, you know, they cling to their guns and religion, and he's the one who continually votes down anything that has to do with religious freedom, continuously. He quotes the Declaration of Independence and omits God. So you have a pattern there again and again. But that's not all. When you look at the reign of Joram, he's not alone. And he reigns on the throne, but there's somebody with him who is the former first lady, who is Jezebel. Well, what happens when Obama gets into the White House, unprecedented, never happened in American history, he brings in the former first lady, Hillary Clinton, and she becomes like an advisor on the throne, or by the throne, same way, just as Obama did. So they follow really everything here.
Interesting. Now, but in modern times, of course, Obama didn't follow Clinton in the presidency. We had George W. Bush was president.
That's right.
Number 40.
That is right.
43.
That is right. Absolutely.
Does that not throw sort of a
I'll tell you why. Actually, it's a very consistent thing. It happens with the Harbinger as well. If you notice, with the Harbinger, those who don't know it, it's this ancient the replaying of the days, the warnings of judgment, and you find American leaders actually pronouncing judgment on America, and they're actually quoting the ancient scriptures of judgment that the ancient leaders of Israel did. But the interesting thing is virtually every one of them is Democratic. I mean, and it's not a matter, listen, it's not a matter of politics, not a matter, it doesn't matter which party, but the Democratic Party has initiated many things now that are very clearly against the Bible. Well, that is what you see with you won't see many Republicans in the Harbinger, and it's not a choice. It's simply these are the ones who end up reliving it. Well, the paradigm is the paradigm of apostasy. So it focuses on the leaders of apostasy who are a catalyst who fulfill this paradigm of leading the nation away. Well, that is the case with the Clintons. That's the case with Barack Obama. It was not the case with George Bush. He sought to, whatever one thinks about anybody, he sought to slow this down, in every way. However, even this is part of it because there is another son who's on the throne and who before Joram, and that is his name is Ahaziah. And so you have George Bush is actually a placeholder because it makes everything else fall into place. For instance, Joram was the third king of the paradigm, or the second king after Ahab, and so is Obama. And you actually have the entire timing, and something else I'll share with you, which is what happens to the nemesis. It only could happen if there was another king in that place, or another president in that place.
Right.
But George Bush was not one who furthered the apostasy. So the focus will be on those.
That's interesting. I think a lot of us conservatives would consider George the 43rd to be a placeholder.
Well, I understand. But let me give you an example here, and this will lead to the next thing, because we talked about in the first hour. We mentioned the nemesis, the one who rises up to bring destruction on the land, and that the ancient nemesis, and that is Osama bin Laden, who will follow the paradigm of the ancient one, Ben-Hadad. Well, that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is going to come during this time. If it wasn't for the Bush presidency, it would not fall exactly the way it should. So here's what happens. You have this manhunt after 9/11, the greatest manhunt in history, and yet, it went dead. The trail went cold.
Yes.
Nobody knew what happened. And yet the paradigm spelled it all out before it happened. The paradigm says, first of all, that the nemesis, in this case bin Laden, is going to be assassinated, just as the ancient one was. And it actually is going to give the way that it's going to happen. The ancient nemesis, bin Laden, or Ben-Hadad, sorry, is lying in his bed when the assassination begins. Well, Osama bin Laden will be lying in his bed when his assassination, when the Navy SEALs begin to come down on the compound.
And who killed Ben-Hadad? Was it forces from the Northern Kingdom?
It was a man named Hazael, and because we know his name, let me throw this in. But even before that, there's something I think you may be linking, and that is that the death of bin Laden or Ben-Hadad will originate in the Northern Kingdom because it will be the prophet Elisha who will actually initiate it. So it will be initiated in the Northern Kingdom. So with bin Laden, you can say with America, but it involves other things. The interesting thing is that what happens also is in the paradigm, the ancient enemy, Ben-Hadad, he cannot leave his quarters. Just like Bin Laden couldn't leave, so he uses a courier to transmit messages and other things. So that's exactly what Bin Laden did. He used a courier, and through the courier, the ancient courier, that the enemy is going to be killed because of the courier. Well, in the modern case, they couldn't find Bin Laden for years, but finally they found his courier. And by finding his courier and following him back, the courier led them to the compound. So even that comes into play. And then there's much more. But what happens also is that at the time of the assassination, what happens is that the assassin comes into the bedroom and executes the enemy in the bedroom. Well, so Bin Laden will be executed in his bedroom. But the paradigm actually gives the timing of when it will happen. Because, it was years nothing happened with Bin Laden, but the paradigm gives it, because we know, we put it together, it's very clear that what happens is this.
Okay, hold on. Jonna,
okay,
we're going to take a time out.
We'll reveal
the timing.
Yes, we'll reveal it.
When we come back, The Paradigm with Jonathan Kahn. Stay with us.
If you're sure your phone isn't tapped, call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at 1-866-740-4740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Keeping an eye on the new world order. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. To speak with Richard, call 416-360-0740 or toll free 1-866-740-4740.
Jonathan Kahn stays with us. The brand new book is The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. I just want to give a clarification on the dates and locations when Jonathan will be in Toronto, and that is fast approaching. So again, and Albert, let's get these up on the website if we could. Wednesday, November the 15th at 7 p.m., that's the Church on the Queensway. Okay, Wednesday, November the 15th, 7 p.m., Jonathan will be speaking at the Church on the Queensway. That's 1536 the Queensway here in Toronto. And for this event, you've got to register. Just go to eventbrite.com, and there's usually a search engine there. Just type in Jonathan Kahn, C-A-H-N, Jonathan Kahn, and you'll get the details. Again, you just have to register. It's free. There will be a collection plate, and that would probably be going to a Hope of the World ministry. Saturday, November the 18th. Saturday, November the 18th at 7 p.m. Now, this event is at the Vaughan Community Church. Okay, Saturday, November the 18th, 7 p.m., the Vaughan Community Church. That's 200 Racco Parkway in Thornhill. No registration required, but arrive early to guarantee seating. Sunday, November the 19th at 10 a.m., Miracle Family Temple. That's 1100 Bellamy Road North in Scarborough. Again, Sunday, November the 19th, 10 a.m., Miracle Family Temple, 1100 Bellamy Road North, Scarborough. No registration required, but arrive early to guarantee seating. And then the same day, Sunday, November 19th at 3:15 p.m., the Tamil Church of the Living Savior. Tamil Church of the Living Savior, 480 Huntingwood Drive in Scarborough. No registration required. Arrive early to guarantee seating. And we will post these on the website at strangeplanet.ca. All right. We were talking about the timing of Bin Laden's assassination by the Navy SEAL team, essentially in his bedroom, and how that paradigm is mirrored by the assassination of the nemesis of King Ahab, and that was Bin Hadad. under very similar circumstances, almost exact circumstances.
Yes.
But the timing of bin Laden's assassination, let's talk about that.
Yeah, when the ancient nemesis was assassinated, it was in the reign of Joram, which corresponds with Obama. So that's what it happened. Obama was in power. It happened when Joram and Jezebel were in the palace. And so, therefore, we all saw that famous picture when bin Laden was assassinated. It was Obama and Hillary Clinton were there in the White House. But it says this, according to the paradigm, when the nemesis will bring destruction on the land, the calamity, and we already saw how the paradigm gave the exact or day and hour of it, that's 9/11, so that's 2001, and according to the paradigm, then 10 years later, in the 10th year after the calamity, the nemesis will be assassinated. So 2001 add 10 years. In the paradigm, it takes you to the year 2011. 2011 is the year bin Laden is assassinated.
That was in May of that year, I believe.
Yes.
All right, fascinating. Now, back to King Joram.
Yes.
The timing, earlier we talked about how long King Ahab reigned and how long Bill Clinton was in politics. What about with King Joram and his prototype or anti-type, I suppose, President Obama?
Yeah, well, how long was Obama on the world stage or the national stage? Well, we know it's very exact because he had a very dramatic launch into the national stage. Nobody knew about him, even in Chicago, most people didn't know about him up until the time when he was invited to give the keynote speech at the Democratic Convention, and he did, and all overnight, he was lifted up to national acclaim, and they said he's going to become the president, and very shortly, after that, like 2 years later, he's running for president, and then he becomes president. So it's a very clear marker. It's 2004. When he gave that speech, Democratic Convention, it was the summer of 2004. And so what happens now, how long was he on the stage? His last year as president was 2016. So 2004, 2016, you end up with 12 years. And actually Obama, when he spoke at the last convention nominating Hillary Clinton, the first words out of his mouth of his speech were 12 years ago tonight. It was actually on the exact 12-year mark.
Right.
And so 12 years Barack Obama. Open up the Bible, and you open up to the book of 2 Kings. And 2 Kings says this of Obama's prototype. Joram reigned in Samaria for a period of 12 years.
Why am I not surprised?
12 years. Again. And the other thing is, Richard, nobody could put this together. I mean, because, you look at back then, kings weren't elected. They got into power when the king before them died, and they finished when they died, So it had nothing to do with the dynamics of a modern president. With all the, look at all the ins and outs and all the twists and turns of politics, and yet it ends up with Clinton, and with a lot of twists and turns, ends up with Obama. It follows, it conforms to the ancient paradigm, or you could say the ancient paradigm here is determining what exactly they will be. So yes, again, an exact match.
I want to talk about the chapter of the warrior, because that's sort of speeding things along.
Yes.
But the paradigm reveals the rise of this figure called the warrior. Who is he?
Yeah. Well, the setting is that the nation comes to a critical juncture where basically if the House of Ahab continues in power, it's going to wipe out religious faith. It's going to wipe out the people of God. It's going to seal the nation's apostasy. It's going to be over if they continue in power, the heirs of Ahab. So with America, and really, and whatever happens in America affects everything else, of course. So with America, you also have this critical juncture. You have this election where if we had gone the other way with the Democratic platform, we would have sealed the Supreme Court for a generation or more. We would have sealed the religious liberty. We would have sealed all this. In fact, it was the most brazen platform in the history of the Democratic Party. It was the first time ever in their history they didn't just allude to abortion with euphemisms. They celebrated it. I mean, they vowed they're going to strike down the Hyde Amendment if they win, which means that everyone in America is Christians are going to be literally directly funding the killing of the unborn. I mean, that's how radical this was. And not only that, this is the election where Hillary Clinton made that famous statement. It was her first speech as in running for president when she said deep-seated religious beliefs have to be changed. Why? So that abortion can expand. Now, I cannot think of a more Jezebelian statement than that. And that was Jezebel saying that we have to overturn the religious beliefs of Israel so that child sacrifice can expand. So that was the stake. So then comes a surprise in the paradigm. And that is exactly what you alluded to. The chapter is called The Warrior. And that is a man that actually Elijah was supposed to anoint this guy. We don't know if he did. So Elijah sends a young prophet to go to a military camp and to with a message for one of those people. And the man's name is Jehu. Jehu is going to be the mystery of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is going to follow the paradigm of Jehu. And so he goes to the camp, and he says, I got a message for you, Commander. He says, which one? Says Jehu. He says, for you. So he takes the Commander Jehu, takes him aside, and says to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, he's anointed you to become king of Israel. You're gonna end the house of Ahab. So he anoints him, and then he runs. He takes off and gets out of there. Well, who was Jehu? Jehu was not a politician. He was, and so Donald Trump is not a politician. Jehu was a warrior. He was a fighter. Donald Trump is a fighter. He fights with everybody. In fact, you know, I'm convinced that somewhere in the ancient Hebrew, it says that you find it says Jehu had a Twitter account at night. And so, you know, something else. But this is exactly it. He fights with everybody. Jehu is not a gentleman. He is a rough man. Donald Trump is a rough man. At times, it will seem as if Jehu is out of control. He's impulsive. Well, Donald Trump will seem like he's out of control, impulsive. And also, he'll come suddenly on the scene. Jehu will shake the status quo, the political realm, totally shake it. So will Donald Trump. So Donald Trump is going to follow this thing, and the entire thing. And so what happens, he's going to oppose the House of Ahab. Well, that's going to translate to the House of Clinton. And so what happens here now? The amazing thing is that you actually read something. Some people who are listening may remember from their Sunday school or from church, but it's an amazing thing. What happens is when Jehu is anointed, he begins a race to the throne, a literal race, a campaign, a race to the throne. He gets on his chariot, and he begins a race, and his key strategy is speed, to catch his enemies, his opponents off guard. So he begins a race in the chariot. The watchman in the city of Jezreel sees him coming, doesn't know it's him, and says, well, we don't know who's coming, but the driving is like that of Jehu, for he driveth furiously. Well, how did Donald Trump lead that campaign? Furiously.
He was a wrecking ball.
Wrecking ball, absolutely, and that's exactly what Jehu was too. Think about it. Jehu was a wrecking ball. He is literally destroying. He's tearing down what was there. And another word in the Hebrew is that he drives crazy, or some of your Bibles will say he drives like a madman. So I could not think of a better description of the race of Donald Trump. It made no sense, and yet he drove like a madman, and yet he would end up getting to the throne. So what happens is there's a showdown in the paradigm. Now listen to this. The showdown is between the warrior on one side, and that's Jehu, that's Trump. And on the other side, who is it? It's the former First Lady,
Queen
Jezebel.
She's still hanging around,
and she's like the last pillar, because if she remains in power, then the House of Ahab is going to remain in power. And so with Hillary Clinton, same thing. And so it comes down in the end to the warrior and the queen. And so, you know, you remember, of course, Richard, I mean, we all remember, all the polls were saying that, you know, that the Democrats are going to, not only are they going to win, Hillary Clinton's going to win, she's going to trounce Donald Trump. All the major polls were saying it's over. But the paradigm said the opposite. The ancient paradigm says this: when the warrior comes head-to-head with a former first lady, or were Jehu versus Jezebel, or Trump versus Hillary Clinton, the first lady will be defeated, and the warrior will be victorious. Now, interesting, I'm going to throw this in. I don't often throw this in, but we're getting into detail. And, of course, this is more than I can ever touch is on the book, but I'm getting into more than I do in most interviews. What happens, if you remember what happens with Jezebel, it says when she sees Jehu coming, she puts on makeup and she adorns her head. And then she comes to the window. Now, a lot of people think, well, she's trying to seduce Jehu. Well, that's unlikely. First of all, she was a grandmother at the time, and so was Hillary Clinton. But she's making herself out to be the queen. And she, when it says she adorns her head, it's most likely she's putting on a crown.
Right. I deserve to be the queen.
Yes, exactly. Entitlement. And what she's doing is, what do you do when you put a crown on your head? You're planning a coronation. Well, you look at all the articles about when it came down to Election Day, it said that Clinton is planning her own coronation.
Right.
And she planned the glass ceiling to come down and a great spectacle over New York City. There were going to be fireworks all over New York City. She planned a coronation. And you look at the articles, it says the Clinton camp goes from coronation to despair or to downfall. And what happens is, I'm going to share something with you that's not even in the book, but it's going to be in the book's already in reprint, and it's going to be in like maybe the next reprint, but it's coming in. They may get it, they may not. But let me tell you what's going to be. I didn't know this when I first wrote this. The amazing thing, during the convention that nominated Clinton, on the day of the nomination,
right,
a guy gets up and he makes this speech to celebrate her. And it's a weird speech. If you want to sum up the speech, the guy says, the theme of the speech are these words: they threw her down as first lady, but she wouldn't stay thrown down. They threw her down as senator, but she wouldn't stay thrown. They threw her down as secretary. They threw her down in the cabinet. They threw her down. If you take the words, it's prophetic, that was said on the day of her nomination, you take, or the day when she receives it, take the words that he said in that speech, they threw her down, plug it into the internet. People can go on the internet right now, put down, threw her down on the internet. And where the internet will take you, the search will take you, of all the words in the world, it will take you to the Bible, it will take you to 2 Kings, it will take you to the chapter that focuses on Jezebel versus Jehu, or Trump versus Clinton.
2 Kings chapter 9 verse 33. Throw her down, Jehu said.
The exact verse which is prophesying her downfall. I mean, this is eerie. On the day of the Democratic speech will take you to the exact verse that is the downfall of Hillary Clinton.
Unbelievable. But it's been an hour and a half of unbelievable, and it continues on the other side, The Paradigm with Jonathan Cahn. Don't you dare go away.
You want the truth? You can handle the truth. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. To get the truth, call Richard now at 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Exploring theories, uncovering facts, and offering a different view of the universe. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio. To speak with Richard live, call 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
And welcome back. Jonathan Cahn stays with us. He is with us for the full 2 hours. The book is called The Paradigm, the Ancient Blueprint That Holds the Mystery of Our Times. Again, Jonathan, how do people get a hold of this remarkable piece of literature?
Thanks, Ritter. The Paradigm is everywhere. It just was released a few weeks ago. It should be everywhere from Amazon online, any online place, plus wherever books are sold, from Walmart, all everywhere. Basically, it's easy to get. And if you want to get in touch, it's the Ministry's Hope of the World. Just remember hopeoftheworld.org, and we'll send you free things. That's basically our mission. Or if you want to check the latest things, it's Jonathan Cahn, the Facebook. But The Paradigm is literally everywhere.
Okay, and again, for the dates for Jonathan's upcoming appearance in Toronto, and there are a number of them, we're posting those to, where is it, Albert, the past show page?
Under past guests on the front page.
Under past guests on the front page. All right, and let me give you those again quickly. Wednesday, November the 15th at 7 p.m., Church of the Queensway, or Church on the Queensway. Again, that's November the 15th, 7 p.m., Church on the Queensway. You have to register for that one. That's at eventbrite.com. Saturday, November the 18th at 7 p.m. and that's at the Vaughan Community Church, 200 Racco Parkway in Thornhill. For that, no registration required, but arrive early to guarantee seating. Sunday, November 19th, two times. Sunday, November 19th, 10 a.m., Miracle Family Temple, 1100 Bellamy Road. And then Sunday, November 19th at 3:15 p.m., Tamil Church of the Living Savior, 480 Huntingwood Drive. Again, for both of those Sunday dates, no registration required, but arrive early to guarantee seating. And all of these dates and times and so forth will be posted. Go to strangeplanet.ca, go to the Conspiracy Show, and on the front page, just click Past Guests, and it'll take you right there. All that info under Jonathan's name. All right, we were talking about, Jehu, who was the heir to King Ahab. My apologies.
Joram was the heir, and Jehu was the warrior.
Jehu was the warrior.
Who throws out the house of Ahab.
That's
basically
right. So Jehu is facing Queen Jezebel.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit more about Jehu. What was he on about in terms of, was he talking about taking the northern kingdom back to the a better time when they were praying to God and adhering to God's rules, or what was Jehu?
Jehu was a fascinating person because, Richard, if you take, it's amazing when you look at the ancient commentaries about Jehu, you basically could just put in Donald Trump's name. I mean, because it's amazing what they say about him. We'll get into something that happens on the way, but he says, listen, you know, this is for God. Now, as far as we know, he didn't live a godly life beforehand. Okay, but he is saying we got to get it back to God, and we don't. And the commentaries to this day cannot make up their mind if Jehu was really knew God or didn't know God, but he was used by God. You know that he's a vessel that's used by God, and even though he seems unlikely, he's used of God. So he was ending Baal worship now, and that's what he actually would do. Baal worship was a foreign import, so you have Jehu being against foreign things. I mean, you can fill in the blanks here, but of course it's you know, it's also ungodly. So he's literally ending the legacy of the house of Ahab, which is actually what Donald Trump did up to that point, with that, you know, the whole legacy of the Clinton years up through Obama. And so it is, you have a nationalistic part of it, but you also have a godly part of it. And God is basically using this guy. And the other thing interesting is it's revealed in the account of Jehu's rise that he actually he was on the wrong side before this. He was working for Ahab. He was there when Elijah prophesied judgment on Ahab in the vineyard. He was there. And so it reveals he was on the wrong side of the culture war. So Donald Trump was on the wrong side originally. And also it means that he was actually serving Ahab. And we know that Donald Trump was actually friends with the Clintons and acquaintance with the Clintons and was for that. And because that Jehu was on that side of it, he was fighting for the kingdom of Baal. So he was for child sacrifice, but now he turned against it. Well, Donald Trump was originally pro-abortion, but now he turned totally the other way, just like Jehu did. He turned against it, and now he's actually used, despite himself, as being used by God.
And one other thing, this is all remarkable, one other thing many people may not be aware of, and Jehu said, I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall, and I'm going to make the Phoenicians pay for it.
I think that must be in the Septuagint version. It probably is.
All right. I want to cycle back a little bit to Queen Jezebel and Hillary Clinton, because we keep talking about and we'll do this after the break, but we keep talking about the length of their, you know, their reign, and we talked about Ahab, and we talked about Clinton, we talked about
Obama
and Joram. So let's just circle back and talk about Hillary and Queen Jezebel, because there's another interesting parallel there.
Absolutely.
We'll do all that on the other side. Jonathan Cahn, The Paradigm, back with more in a moment on The Conspiracy Show.
Corporations, governments, and sometimes entire civilizations. What goes up must come down, and it lands on The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. The world is being pulled over your eyes. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. To reach Richard, call 416-360-0740. or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Welcome back. Jonathan Kahn is with us. The book is The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times, available just about anywhere. And if you want to get a hold of Jonathan, you can do so at the website hopeoftheworld.org. That's the ministry, hopeoftheworld.org. And for a full list of days, times, and locations for his upcoming Toronto speaking tour, go to our website, strangeplanet.ca, find the radio show, The Conspiracy Show, and on the front page you'll see past guest info, and it's under there, under Jonathan's name. And that's Wednesday, November the 15th, Saturday, November the 18th, and then two times on Sunday, November the 19th. And all the information is right there. We were talking about Queen Jezebel and Hillary Clinton and the parallel there. How long was Queen Jezebel in power on the scene, and how does that relate to Hillary Clinton's reign?
Yeah, well, I'll do it starting from Hillary Clinton. She was on the national stage in parts, 22 years with her husband, 1979 to 2001. That was First Lady of Arkansas and then of America. So that's a 22-year period with her husband, and then she goes on her own, as we know. She's 8 years as a senator, 4 years as Secretary of State, so that's a 12-year period. Then she retires from public life for 2 years. And then there's nothing. She's not on the stage. But then she comes back on the stage, as we just happened, and she's there for 2 years, basically, as running for president. So you have 12 years plus 2 years, comes 14 years on her own on the national stage. So we got 22 years with her husband, and then we have 14 years on the national stage on her own. Well, what does the Bible say about Jezebel? It's easy to put together. How long was Jezebel on the national stage with her husband? 22 years. How long was she on the stage alone after that? 14 years. The exact year.
Come on.
Yeah, for real.
Oh, wow.
And in fact, I'll say, you know, we didn't get into this. The paradigm actually gives the time when all these things happen, because when it gives the timing when Jehu has his rise, when he comes head-to-head with the First Lady, when the First Lady, former First Lady, falls, has her downfall, when he triumphs, all that takes place in the Bible, in the 12th year of King Joram. So now we already had the parameters. You guys have been following it. That Joram is Obama. So you take the 12th year and you take 2004. At 12 years, it takes you to the year, pinpoints the year 2016.
Right.
2016, therefore, is the year of the rise of the warrior, the year of the showdown, the year of the fall of the First Lady, and the year of the triumph of the warrior. It all happens, I mean, like, exactly. And Richard, when this started first coming to me, all the stuff about the numbers and the years, I didn't even know that. I mean, that came after. The thing about September 11th and the days, I didn't even know that. I was well into it, and that's when it came. So it was already there, and this is all came after.
Jehu enlisted the help, I guess, in his campaign against the Ahab dynasty. It was kind of a holy man. Tell me about him.
Yes. Well, here's what happens. You know, after he defeats the queen, and by the way, that all happens. The queen is defeated, and he is victorious in the nation's northeastern major city, which is, you know, Jezreel. There, with America, they're both Hillary Clinton and Trump on the day of the election are in New York City, the northeastern city. After winning, he turns his attention to the capital city. So he's going to go to the capital city to take the throne. But on his way there, he meets a man who is, as you said, in the paradigm, he's called the Holy Man, and his name is Jehonadab, kind of mysterious man. But he's in every commentary, he is listed that he represents the religious conservatives of the land. And so here's what happens. Jehu has a meeting with this guy representing the religious conservatives of the land, and so Trump, on his way to power, he has meetings, and we all know this, he has special meetings with who? The religious conservatives, the evangelical Christians. Mm-hmm. And what does Jehu do? Jehu says, you can read the account, basically, in effect, he says, listen, I'm with you. And, you know, so Trump said, I'm with you guys. I'm with you. I'm going to fight for life. I'm going to fight for religious freedom. I'm with you. And then Jehu says, will you be with me? And so Trump says, will you be with me? And so what happens is Jehonadab says, yes, I will be with you, because he looks at the alternative. The alternative is the house of Ahab, then Jezebel. He says, I will be with you, or the house of Ahab. So he joins it. So the two get it. He gets into his chariot. So now in the chariot, you got the warrior and you got the holy man. So you got Trump And then who, on his way to the capital city, who comes with him? Religious conservatives did. If it was not for religious conservatives or evangelical Christians, he would not have been elected. They come in there, and actually during the inauguration, you have more people, more born-again people praying than any other president in history. I mean, it's a, you know, it's despite, you know, it goes against Trump's an enigma, yet God still uses that.
Right.
And the other thing is that literally, I mean, Jehu will, I mean, well, you know, literally Trump will actually partner with a one particular man who will be Mike Pence. And Mike Pence is a religious conservative known as a holy man. Actually, people, the press mocks him because he abstains from things. Well, Jehonadab is known for someone who abstained from any form of evil. So you even have that. So they ride together to the capital city.
And Jehu won because he didn't ignore the flyover state of Samaria.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that's all in the Septuagint.
What happened?
Quoted by Richard.
What happened when Jehu took the throne? What did he do?
Well, he heads to the capital city because he can't take the throne without getting there, and that's Samaria. He heads to the capital city, but the capital city. He's got an agenda. Jehu's agenda as he heads to the capital city is to drain the swamp.
Oh.
Literally. I mean, you can read what happens. He's there to drain the swamp. He goes there to drain the corruption, take out the priests of Baal, take out all that stuff. And when he gets to the capital city, it's divided. I mean, it's a war zone. This is the place of Ahab. It's a place of Baal worship. And so literally, Washington, D.C. was a divide. It was like a war zone. And I was there. It was a war zone. And America is divided, just the way Israel was. And the people who are most against Jehu are the people who are engaged in child sacrifice. Well, who is that today? The abortion industry was literally doing everything they could to stop Trump. But also, if you read it, Jehu was also in a war against witchcraft, because that was Baal worship. He literally uses the word witchcraft. He's in a war. So you got Jehu and you got the witches. Well, amazing, even this. And when Trump becomes president, what happens? All across America and the world, the gatherings take place under the moon of witches. Witches are gathering, literally, to cast spells against Donald Trump.
Right.
I mean, that has never happened in the history of America, and yet that's in the paradigm. It was a war with Jehu and the witches. And when he gets to the capital city, there's a temple of Baal that Ahab built, and Jehu destroys the temple of Baal. And now, temple of Baal linked to child sacrifice. What's the first thing Trump does when he becomes president? He issues executive orders to undo the orders of Obama, and also they were the orders of Clinton.
Mexico City policy.
Yeah, to protect unborn children. He's trying to dismantle the state-supported abortion industry. Now we got to pray, because he's trying to do that still. But that's exactly what Jehu did. He basically cut off all the state support of the priests of Baal. But literally, now here's an eerie thing, that could there actually exist a temple of Baal? Well, there has been a temple of Baal. It goes back from ancient times. It existed for 2,000 years in the Middle East, withstood everything. But according to the paradigm, when the warrior rises, the temple of Baal will fall to the ground. Well, after 2,000 years, the temple of Baal in the Middle East fell to the ground. And it fell to the ground in the summer of 2015, which is the exact time when Trump began his rise to the presidency.
Wow. We're almost out of time. I just want to jump ahead to the what does this paradigm, what does it tell us about the future?
Yeah, there's a whole chapter at the end about called The Harbinger of Things to Come, because the paradigm gives us clues and keys about the future, and also it gives us really the way the paradigm contains a paradigm within the paradigm of the keys of for God's people, how to live, how to overcome, how to prevail. Now, there's too much to go into in the time we have, but I'll say a few things. One is it contains warning, too, because Jehu was a mixed figure. So there was good and there was not good. But here's the thing. Here's the most important thing right now, and I can't get into the future. Actually, I'll say this. It does intersect with the harbingers, because Jehu is actually going to lead to the harbingers. So that's it's actually going to lead to a time of judgment. But here's the good news, what Jehu did is he created a window of time. He held back the apostasy. He defeated the Baal worship and the house of Ahab. So what he did is he provided a window for the nation. He wasn't the answer, but he provided a window before the answer, which is revival. So Jehu, so that's exactly what Trump, that's, you want to understand Donald Trump, he was used as a vessel despite himself to create a window of time now where there's still religious freedom. He stalled the apostasy, so there is time for revival. And the key right now is revival. And if there's revival, that's the only hope America has, the only hope Canada has, the only hope the West has, that there's revival. Without revival, this will descend, and with Jehu's time, we don't know that there was revival, and the long term is they descended to judgment. And that's where the harbingers kick in. So the chance we have is now, so we cannot waste it. And that the last thing in the book, one of the last things in the book is called the Elijah paradigm. And that is the paradigm for God's people right now, that we are to follow. I can't go into detail, but there's the paradigm of how to overcome, how to prosper, and how to be the light that you are called to be. These can be the most exciting times, but we got to follow God all the way.
And are there clues? Well, how long did Jehu reign? Do we know?
Well, Jehu reigned for I believe it's 28 years. But remember, this what the reign, you know, no president reigns for any of those things. But it's how long were they on the national stage, or how long did their rise begin? So there's still a lot of stuff to do. I have more mathematics to do. I haven't done it, and I'm sure people are going to find a lot more things in the paradigm even than I have set out.
Wow, what a remarkable work, Jonathan. Congratulations and thank you. And thank you for spending 2 hours with us. Very generous of you. And you must be exhausted after all this.
Richard, it is always truly a joy and a blessing and an honor to be with you. And maybe we'll see you face-to-face as well. But it's a joy and an honor with you.
Likewise, my friend. I hope we can maybe even break bread together when you come up in November.
Let's try for it. God bless you, Richard.
God bless you. The paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times, Jonathan Kahn. My thanks to Ian and Albert and Ryan and North and Zach for hanging out. And all of you for listening at home. Back next week with James DiEugenio talking about the JFK files to be released in just days. And John Francis, the global conspiracy of love, a near-death experiencer. And in the meantime, don't be afraid. There's nothing concealed that won't be revealed, and nothing hidden that won't be made known. What you hear in the dark, speak in the light. What I say in a whisper, proclaim from the housetops. Move over, Aphrodite. I'm coming home. Good night.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.